Well, good morning. Once again, I'm just delighted to see all of you here. And we're so happy for these last days that we've had of sunshine. It's been just such a blessing. Well, Amy and I don't talk about what the teaching is going to be every week. And yet, week after week, I see the worship totally tie in to my teaching. And that was true this morning as well. This morning, our name is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. And Shalom, in case anyone doesn't know, is S-H-A-L-O-M. Turn to Judges 6, where we will see the first time this name appears. The story of Gideon, I know most of us are familiar with it. We're going to look at just a portion of it. At this time in history, the Midianites had been oppressing the Israelites for 7 years, and it had been a terrible siege where they completely oppressed, completely controlled the Israelites, which is why Gideon was hiding out from them. And but finally, after 7 years of this, in their desperation, they cried out to the Lord. Let's read, I will start in verse 6. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you lived. But you have not listened to me." And so this prophet comes and announces a word from the Lord. And it's his displeasure with his people, because here he had delivered them from Egypt and he had taken care of them. He had told them what they were to do, what they were not to do. And for sure, he was to be the only God in their lives. But they had not been obedient. They had not followed him. And here he says, "You have not listened to me." We have to remember that, obviously, Judges, this is the time in Israelites' history where, in Israel's history, where the judges ruled. And what's that refrain we see several times in Judges? It was a time when every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that is exactly what they have been doing. And so now, for these 7 years, they've been experiencing the consequences of that. And when they can finally take it no longer, they cry out to the Lord. And you know what I love? He heard them. He hears us. He listens to our cries, and he responds to us. I love Psalm 34:6. It tells us when we cry out to the Lord, he hears us and he answers our prayers. And there might be someone here today who has been crying out to the Lord, maybe even this very morning. And I just want to remind you, perhaps you were crying out last night and yesterday morning, the day before that, the day before that, and you're not seeing the answer. But I can say to you with complete confidence because his word tells us he hears you. And so will you receive that by faith, that he hears you? He loves you. He cares. And even if, as in this case, even if maybe for 7 years you've been going your own way, or 7 months, or 7 weeks, or 7 days, he still hears you because he loves you, and he will answer your prayer. How we need to call out to the Lord when we're in those places. And sometimes the accuser is right on our shoulder telling us all the reason we have no right to be calling out to the Lord. I mean, actually, this is a classic example. They could be thinking, hey, for 7 years, we've blown it. He's not going to listen to us. We've been totally disobedient. We've been doing our own thing. And that's why we're experiencing this. The accuser, the last thing he wants is for you to cast your cares upon the Lord. The last thing he wants is for you to cry out to him in your desperation. That's why I have always loved Jeremiah 33. It's the third verse. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And again, if that's not a verse you have highlighted or underlined, I would so encourage you, because it's such a wonderful reminder that he hears our prayers and he will answer. The angel of the Lord, verse 11, came and sat down. And I do want to stress that back in verse 7 or verse 8, it says that the Lord sent them a prophet. Now, to remind you, the prophet was a man. But here, when we read in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came, that is Jesus. That is what we call a Christophany. And it's an appearance of Jesus Christ before he came to earth as Jesus of Nazareth. That's what I love about us getting to know his names, because we will see Jesus all through the Old Testament. And it's just such a blessing. So I will start again. The angel of the Lord came, and Jesus sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And again, to remind you that, why was he threshing wheat in a wine press? He was hiding out. Normally, when they would thresh wheat, they would do it from a hill to allow the wind to just kind of separate it, the wheat from the chaff. But in this case, he's hiding out. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our father told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Now, have you noticed every time the word Lord has been in all caps. So what is that? Jehovah, correct? And so that means that here is the same I am that I am who commissioned Moses. And when we read the story, in many ways, it could be Moses times two, take two, right? You know, because his response was essentially the same as Moses. Moses was looking to himself, and he's saying to the Lord, basically, please find someone else. Who am I? I can't do it. In fact, my mouth doesn't work. I'm not a good speaker. Find someone else. All Moses could do was look to himself. And that's exactly what Gideon is doing. He's looking to himself, to his clan, and he's thinking, someone else, who am I? And yet, you know what I love? The Lord's answer to Gideon is the same as it was to Moses. And that was, I will be with you. When you really think about that, that's all he needed to know. And I don't know where you are today, you know, but maybe you need to take hold of that truth, that the Lord is with you. And I love his promises to us. And the truth is, when we read that he is with us, we should not need to hear another thing. That should silence our fears. But so often we don't stop to listen, to really take hold of the words that he is speaking to us. Verse 17, Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the yoke. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. What an amazing story. You know, as Brett has said in reading this, he wants to see this when he gets to heaven. He wants to see the Blu-ray, I think he calls it. But what an amazing time. And what I wonder is, up until that moment, you know, was Gideon thinking that this angel of the Lord was a man? Because a prophet had come to them. But to have him disappear right before his eyes, to see that offering just consumed. So we're not surprised when it says, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And of course, he knew the consequences of that would be death. So that was his thought. Verse 23, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. Or for today's study, Jehovah Shalom. What a wonderful name. I was telling Elaine this morning that I knew in this past week that I had a lot of different things going on, and that times that I would normally be going to be preparing, I would be with family because my daughter was up from Medford. And yet the Lord had spoken to me last week, which I don't normally know that far in advance, that this was going to be the name. So it was so funny because when I'm so aware of that I'm not going to have all the time I like to have, I just said to the Lord, okay, but if this is the name you're having me share on, surely the preparation time won't be loaded with stress and agitation and anxiety. And truly, I was able to just relax knowing that he would give me what he wanted me to share with you. The thing that I wanted to share this story with you about today, rather than just going to the last verse where we see his name, is here we see Gideon being commissioned by the Lord to do something he sees as way beyond himself. He definitely looks at that and does not feel he is equal to the task. And so I immediately have to wonder if there are some here today who might be in that very place. I'm not saying you're being commissioned to deliver Portland, although we might need deliverance. It might not be as dramatic as the sense of being commissioned, but might you be being called? Are you being called to do something, to say something, to go somewhere that takes you way out of your comfort zone? And what I love is, if you are, you already know it. If you're sitting here musing, am I being called? You're not. But if you are, you're sitting there thinking, I don't believe she's saying this, you know, because the Lord will use it as confirmation. Yes, you've been hearing me, and yes, I'm calling you to do this. And you don't feel equal to the task, but you know what? He says the same thing to you and to me that he said to Moses, that he said to Gideon. I will be with you. And the truth is, that should be enough. We should take hold of that and be blessed by that truth. I love the fact that the Lord is with us. So whether we're in actual battles of sorts or just in anticipating a situation that we find totally intimidating, how important it is to remember that Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, is with us. And he will equip us, he will empower us, he'll be with us, and that's all we need to know. Sometimes these truths that are really simple, but simply profound, are truths we have to, in order to embrace them for ourselves, we have to spend time with the Lord and just let them sink in. Because we can accept them for others, but sometimes when it comes to ourselves, it's a little bit more challenging. Those are the times we need to just spend at his feet, seeking his presence, asking him to reveal himself in a way that we can take hold of him. Brother Lawrence was a monk who wrote a book about practicing the presence of God. Maybe some of you have read it. It's a small book and it's a wonderful book. He talked about the peace that he experienced in God's presence. He wrote, "I know not what I shall become. It seems to me that peace of soul and repose of spirit descend on me, even in sleep. To be without the sense of this peace would be affliction indeed. I know not what God purposes with me or keeps me for. I am in a calm so great that I fear not or nothing. What can I fear when I'm with him? and with him in his presence, I hold myself the most I can. And his little book is all about that, how he purposed in the menial daily tasks to practice the presence of God, to be aware that God was with him. That is something the Lord wants all of us to know and to be blessed by. This morning, the last song we sang, again, Amy had no idea, but here it's the little story I want to tell you, because it is the story of peace in an incredible time. And that's the story of the man who wrote that song, Horatio Stafford, and probably most of you know it. But it was in the 1800s, and he lived in Chicago, and that terrible Chicago fire, his whole business had burned to the ground. There'd been much destroyed, you know, for everyone who lived in that area. And he felt that it would be a good thing to just get away. And so he and his wife and four daughters were going to go tour Europe. But something came up at the last minute for him, and so he sent his wife and his daughters ahead with the plan that he would meet them. Well, of course, in those days, they didn't fly. They went by boat. And when they went by boat, that ship was hit by another ship, and it went down in like 10 minutes' time. And over, I think it was 228 people were lost. And of those, four were his daughters. His wife, when she got to England, I think it was, sent him a wire saying, "Saved alone." And naturally, he wanted to rejoin her as quickly as he could, so he got on a boat and headed there. And you can, well, I don't think most of us can imagine that kind of a loss. Four daughters being drowned. And this is a man who loved the Lord. And he asked the captain to let him know when they came to that area where the ship had gone down that his wife and daughters were on. And when he was told, it is said, that this is when he wrote that hymn, a song that many of us absolutely love because it is so amazing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How can that be? When we're in tumultuous or heartbreaking circumstances, we can know that the Lord wants us to have peace, but it's so easy to think that the peace is something we're heading toward. That in time, we're going to do better. The Lord's going to comfort us and we'll have the peace. But what I love about this hymn, and I know everyone loves it for the same reason, is that it's right in the middle of that time that he experiences that peace. The Lord wants that for us. It's too easy for us to think that peace is the absence of trouble. Peace is the absence of incredible sorrow, heartbreak. But that is not what peace is. Peace is not the absence of those things. It's the presence of the Lord in those things. How the Lord wants us to experience Him as Jehovah Shalom, practicing His presence. How I encourage each one of you, and include myself, to continue to draw near the Lord. It's not that we ever arrive there. It's something we press on to do daily, hourly. We can all know we're not going to experience peace in this world. Is that pretty sure thing? And in fact, the times we live in are far from peaceful. I can't remember a time in my own life when I have sensed such political and civil unrest. It just amazes me. I don't even want to watch the news anymore. It's like, I've seen that. I don't want to hear it. But the Lord wants us to not focus on those things, not to ignore them as if, oh, la, 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 they don't exist, but to focus on Him, Jehovah Shalom. I love Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And remember, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago when I shared that quote, that He is president over us. Such a comforting truth. And Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorite verses, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee. What is that? It's practicing his presence. We're purposing to keep our minds stayed or fixed on him. And the awareness of his presence when we do that will overflow from within onto our lives and whatever it is that we are dealing with. God is the very essence of peace. He's the essence of tranquility. And I know there is not one woman here who doesn't long for that, who would not welcome it. I know we all long for it. Well, we have looked at how Gideon met the Lord and came up with the discovery that the Lord had been with him, he had talked with him, but he didn't have to fear. He could have peace because it was Jehovah Shalom who had been with him. Then we have looked at how that might apply to our own lives. For those of us in this room who might sense that we're being stretched, the Lord is calling us to do something that is we feel unequal to. And now I thought it would be fun to just look at some verses that to me are wonderful verses of peace, and maybe you already have them all highlighted and underlined, but they're wonderful. The first is Psalm 4:8, which is a verse I love to share, and I very often share with my single moms because the Lord gave it to me when I was first divorced. And I remember going to bed in those times and shutting off the light and feeling so responsible for all of my kids. And I think, did I hear a sound downstairs? Did I lock the door? And I'd picture, you know, what if someone were in the house and what would I do? And the kids were scattered. They weren't like in rooms right there. They were all, and how would I take it? Well, what if there were a fire? And then I would picture a fire and I'd think, okay, go in your mind. So it's a plan you already have of how you would get everyone out. And this is what I dealt with every single night when the light went out. And then the Lord gave me Psalm 4, verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I wrote that on a 3x5 card, and I put it right at the base of my lamp, my bedside table. And the last thing I'd do before reaching up and shutting that off was I would read that verse. And I'll tell you, it was better than Ambien. I would be out. It was absolutely wonderful. And we probably all have our favorite verses, but see, I'm the one who's up here, so I get to share some of mine. In Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He blesses us with peace. And what about the verse we sing on Wednesday nights? Do you love it? Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And in Isaiah 32, we see the fruit of that righteousness. In verses 17 and 18, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Another verse linked with peace through our righteousness in him is Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is a welcome commodity, isn't it? And yet for some, it's elusive. We have to ask, what would rob us of our peace? And obviously, the very first thing would be if we don't have relationship with Jehovah Shalom. If Jesus is not our Savior, how can we possibly enjoy his peace? Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, the hindrance to receiving his peace would be if we're walking in disobedience, even as Israel was in this story. Perhaps we're choosing relationships or activities or a direction that the Lord would not have for us, that is not pleasing to him. We cannot expect to receive his peace when we know we are not pleasing him. But this is the good news. As believers who are choosing to walk with the Lord, to be obedient as far as we know how to what he is asking of us and showing us that he wants for our lives, for believers who have that relationship with him, we have absolutely every reason to expect that peace. In fact, we should interpret any lack of peace as his way of trying to get our attention. So if you're in a place where you know you're not receiving his peace, come to him and say, if you're not already aware of it, Lord, okay, show me. Why am I not receiving your peace? And I love it because he will be faithful to show you. It's certainly one of the ways that he gets our attention, because we all want peace. And it's one of the ways that he gives us direction. I know all of us have experienced, we might be thinking about doing something, going somewhere, whatever. And what might we say? You know, I don't know. I just don't have a peace about it. And I will tell you, heed that inclination. If you do not have peace, heed that lack of peace. And whatever direction you're going in, whatever decision you're going to make, just stop and say, okay, Lord, is this from you? Because if I'm going in the wrong way, I want you to show me. And you can be sure that he will. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. Called to peace. Now that is a wonderful calling. And I read many, many years ago, I was going to look it up and find out where, that word rule, another way of looking at it, would be like an umpire would rule at a game. When he calls something, that's it. No discussion, or they're not supposed to be. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You may say, but I'm such a warrior. How can I walk in peace when I constantly find myself preoccupied by my fears? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this, the peace that passes understanding. Our mistake can be in knowing he wants us to have peace, but thinking that the way to get it will to just have that one little missing piece of information that will complete the picture and we'll go, got it. That's going to help me now have peace. But it's the peace that passes understanding. In other words, doesn't require understanding. And that's what the Lord has for us. In other words, we experience the peace of God by worrying about nothing, praying about everything, being thankful for anything. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. As women, we can be so fearful. But what we need to see is on any given day, you or I can let our hearts be troubled. We can let them be troubled, or we can let them not be troubled. That is for us to decide. It's a choice you and I make every day. And so in those times when we're feeling that lack of peace, we can say, Lord, I know you want me to have that peace. That's what I'm grabbing hold of. Not all the worries that accompany the situation. But again, as we've found in every single name we have gone through, the peace is found in him. All these wonderful blessings are ours. As a benefit, a blessing, a fruit of our relationship with him. I'd like to close with 2 Thessalonians 3:16, and this is the Amplified version. Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace at all times and in every way, that peace and spiritual well-being that comes to those who walk with him, regardless of life's circumstances. The Lord be with you all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your peace and that you desire for us to receive it. And Lord, even as we need that relationship with you, we also need to choose to receive what you're giving us. Would you help my sisters to see that that peace is not an elusive thing? It is here for them this day, this hour, and it's found in you. Lord, the circumstances we may find ourselves in could be far from peaceful, could be chaotic, could be frightening, could be overwhelming, could be heartbreaking. But you are Jehovah Shalom. May we come to you and receive peace. In Jesus' name, amen.